Okay, well, good morning, Real Life Chapel. Everybody's wide awake after that. Are you glad you came to church this morning? I also want to say hello to those who are watching us via Facebook. And like I said, I'm never going to forget those guys because for many, many weeks I was one of them. And so I greatly appreciate the fact that we can do that. For centuries, Christians have celebrated the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, right? And they've used those 4 weeks to prepare for the coming of the Messiah, for the coming of Jesus. And the season is known as Advent. Each week, we've been focusing on an attribute of God that's represented in each of these weeks, and hope and love, joy and peace. And this is the third Sunday in Advent, and so this week we're going to be focusing on joy. But we want to talk about what it means and what it's not, because I think sometimes there's other terms that are very synonymous or connected to or similar to, but I think also it can sometimes present some confusion, right? And sometimes we can think that happiness and joy are exactly the same thing. And while they're definitely related to one another, and you'll find one near the other often, not always, but often, they are not the same thing. And so I wanted to talk about that this morning and share with you some differences. We love to be happy, right? I think most people love to be happy, right? We like it when things go our way. We like it when things are rolling the way we want it to be and we're happy. But we're not always happy, are we? Right? Things come along, things change, somebody says something we don't like, and now we're not happy. Right? So, joy runs much deeper than that. Happiness comes and goes as the circumstances that are around us change. Right? And sometimes that's week by week. Sometimes that's day by day. But I would even suggest that our happiness can change due to our circumstances hour by hour. And even some of us have experienced minute by minute changes. Right? Happy 1 minute, the next minute, what happened? Right? Something happened, and now we're not so happy. Happiness can come from several different places, several different things. Things that we associate with happiness. Happiness can come from birthday parties and balloons, right? Those kind of things. Those kind of things make us happy. Your favorite song, if you hear your favorite song being played right on the radio, you're going down the road, it can make you happy. Winning the big game, right? Right? Winning the big game. Big game yesterday. Go Navy, right? That's right. Go Navy. That's right. I have a friend that's here this morning, perfect for this. So anyway, go Navy. First time, broke it in 3 years, right? They've been 3 years Army had won that game, but yesterday Navy won it. So broke the streak. How about a delicious meal? Right? Wow, lots of amens there. Okay. I can see we got an addiction issue we're going to have to work on. All right, delicious meal. It can make us happy, right? Or, I'll tell you what, another thing that can make us happy, man, when the snow falls and you just can make the perfect snowball, right? I mean, isn't that, it's one of those things, man, it can just make you happy, right? Ah, you didn't think I was going to do that, did you? Stay awake this morning, because if you fall asleep, you will be targeted. Some of them are heavier than others. All right, so, but joy is not the same thing as happiness. There's lots of things that can provide happiness, and that's awesome. But joy, again, joy is a little bit different. Joy permeates our souls, right? It goes to a deeper place. It really does. When you think about joy versus happiness, joy is the birth of a child, right? Birth of a child. Joy is, well, hopefully, joy is your wedding day, right? not going to look too hard at you to see if there's any reactions, right? If your spouse is with you, do not look. Unless you got a good look, don't look, right? Just, I want you to remain joyful this morning. Joy can be this, and there are those in our midst that have heard this. Joy can be being declared free of cancer, right? That's more than happiness. It's a different thing. It's a different thing. Joy can have a loved one. You can experience joy when a loved one comes out of a coma and there's no brain damage. You see what I mean? I mean, happiness can be there too, but joy is at a deeper level. There's a deeper weight to it. It permeates our souls. Joy is rooted in gratitude, weight of meaning, hope fulfilled, especially when it's based in our relationship with God, our Creator, right? Joy comes from God with us, and that's what we're talking about this time of year. Emmanuel, God with us. Meaning, cutting to the chase, Jesus is the source of our joy. And we don't need, we shouldn't miss that or get lost in the weeds over other things. Our joy is derived from Christ. Now, today, part of the tradition that we've celebrated here, and we continue to celebrate during Advent season, we light the Advent candles and the Advent wreath. And so the Advent wreath, the evergreen, represents this eternal circle, unbroken. Can you mute something up here? There's something that's humming up here. I'm not sure what it is. Might be Evan's guitar. I don't know. Something. There's something humming. There we go. Whatever it was. Thank you. I don't know if anybody else could hear that, right? Okay, I can hear it, and it's going to drive me crazy, and I just won't have joy, so I want to have joy, right? Just saying. Okay. See, that's how you know you love somewhere, right? When people just live to push each other's buttons. Anyway, hey, you can derive some joy from that, probably some happiness. Anyway. So on this wreath, this eternal circle, there are four candles that are around the perimeter. And these four candles, again, are reflective of four centuries of silence in between the words of the prophets in the Old Testament before we have the coming of John the Baptist and God speaking again and preparing the way for his Messiah. And three of those candles are represented or reflected in the color purple, royalty, right, of royal significance. But there's one candle that sticks out. It's a little different, and it's pink, right? And it's lighter, and that is the candle for this week, candle of joy. So the white candle in the center will light on Christmas Eve. That white candle represents the purity of the Christ child. So first week of Advent, for those of you who are here with us, we lit the first candle, and that was reflective of what? Hope. All right, somebody got it right. Good job. I like the late one when you get in. Okay, and then last week we lit the second candle in Advent, and that was reflective of love. That's right. Some of these interchangeable depending on what tradition you're from. So, and then today's candle is the third candle on the Advent candle and Advent wreath. Joy. Okay, I was hoping if you guys didn't get that one after all of that, I had failed. Anyway, so we got this going on. So hopefully you understand this is one of those things. It's just one of the traditions that we've been celebrating here. And hopefully that's why I tried to launch my snowball toward people with sense. Because, you know, I don't need it back when there are lit candles on the stage. Okay. Right. Yeah, don't egg the kid on. Anyway, if you were here with us a couple weeks ago when we started Advent, you might remember us talking about a couple. We talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth. And they were parents. They are the parents of John the Baptist, right? And John the Baptist is the one who would be the forerunner who would prepare the way for the coming Messiah, Jesus. And so I want to take a look at the story again little more of Zechariah and Elizabeth. If you open your programs or you can look on the screens, the scripture's going to be there. Want to take a look at Luke chapter 1. We're going to be going through a few different verses in Luke. Oh, and if you're wondering, some of you might be, the anticipation could be killing you. We are still having our ugly contest. I used to say ugly sweater. It seems it has spilled out into other things besides sweaters, but we're going to have our ugliness at the end of the service this year instead of at the beginning. So there's still, don't fear. We're still going to have some happy at the end of this. Anyway, Luke chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, speaking about Zechariah and Elizabeth, says this: Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. So, I tell you what, there are some descriptions in there. Not all of them. Before I say this, I knew I had to do that. There are some descriptions in here that I hope would be attributed to myself or my wife and I, right? Not the old part. The righteous. I mean, just think, to be able to have it recorded in Scripture that you were considered righteous in God's eyes. Man, that's awesome. I mean, their description is, this couple was righteous and obedient. That's a term we don't hear a lot today in church. Did you know that that's still like a biblical thing? Right? Obedience. Right? Somewhere along the line, I'm not sure where it happened, somewhere along the line, obedience got construed to mean legalism, and those two things aren't even related to one another. Right? Obedience is just simply loving God. That's what he says. When we love him, we will keep his command. So when we're obedient, that's not being legalistic. When we're obedient, that's being very loving, right? I know some of you are all going like, ugh! Never heard that before? Hopefully you have. But here's the thing. I want to dive a little bit into the story because to understand Elizabeth's joy, which she has, and we're going to talk about joy and her joy, to understand Elizabeth's joy in this story that we find in Luke chapter 1, to really appreciate her joy, we have to understand her pain, right? We have to understand her pain. The second description that we find in that verse tells us the other piece. They were righteous and they were obedient, but then it says something specifically about Elizabeth, right? That she was not able to have a child. And they were very old. Now, I'm not sure what very old means. That's right. It could be 38, depending on how old you are. Wow. Right? I have noticed in life, the older I get, the older people or that category gets. Right? I don't know if you've experienced that, right? Right? And then I look back, like when I was a teenager, you know, 38, they were. Right now I'm getting to the place where I'm like, well, maybe 75, starting to get a little older, you know, but keep pushing it back, right? It's funny, man. I spoke with somebody the other day who's in their 70s, right? And they were saying, don't put me with them old people. And I was like, all right, I'm not saying nothing, right? Just so I don't know exactly what that means here, but it just means they were beyond years when having a child would have been in any way remotely possible, okay? So we need to understand, though, what comes with that. Because in that day, in that culture, for Elizabeth to not be able to bear a child brought with it incredible frustration, brought with it incredible suffering and shame. It would have been an incredibly bitter pill for her to walk through life with experiencing. The inability to have a child. Scripture, all the way through the Old Testament and further, Scripture talks again and again about what a blessing children are. That's how it was viewed. That's how it was considered. That children are this incredible blessing, right? mean, even, there's a description of a man, you know, having a quiver full of arrows, right? I mean, it means guys just incredibly blessed to have multiple children. But children weren't just a blessing. They were a blessing, but they were also extra hands to take care of the tasks, right? Got a lot of work to do on the farm or a lot of work to do around the house. And they were part of the benefit and the livelihood of a family. Children were a way that a family could pass on their name and the heritage, right? It was a big deal. But even more so than any of those pieces, having a child was considered to be a gift from God. And that if you had children, you had God's favor. So if you were childless, in that culture, what did it say? Could be considered cursed, could be considered something wrong. There's a reason you can't have it. There's something wrong with you. Right? I mean, that was a stigma that would have become attached to Elizabeth. Right? How many times did Elizabeth hear her friends and her relatives go, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. How many times did Elizabeth walk into a conversation where people were talking about their children and all of a sudden they stopped? Because they were sensitive enough to care about her feelings, right? But how many times did she experience that? When did the label barren stick that she would have to live with? So deep anguish, deep pain. Although obedient couple, righteous couple, Zechariah is a priest. He works in the temple. They're both of the priestly line, so they're still highly considered, but probably felt sorry for. And people would whisper around them a lot, feeling sorry for their situation. We don't know how many times Elizabeth battled depression, right? We don't even know if there was a moment in time where Elizabeth may have considered taking her life. I don't know. But it would have certainly have been a struggle. Certainly have been a struggle. But then there was this one day, her husband goes to work. Another day at the office. Office happened to be the temple, right? And he goes into the presence of the Lord, not into the Holy of Holies, but the holy place, just outside the curtain where the Ark of the Covenant is placed, and he's going to bring incense to burn. Big deal, big duty, part of his shift, right? And all of a sudden he goes in, and an angel appears. And we've talked about this 2 weeks ago, right? Gabriel shows up, and he has an incredible message, incredible news that he shares with Zechariah. Zechariah comes home and tells his wife, but he has to write it out, right? Because why? Right. He lost his voice because he didn't believe the angel what the angel told him. Right? And we had the original sign language, which you all picked up on, right? Sign language. Okay. All right. And so, anyway, but he relays the information to Elizabeth. Man, Elizabeth, can you imagine hearing that? After all that she's endured, after all that she's suffered, all this stuff, and then finally your old husband, comes home and says, hey, we're going to have a kid. Right? I don't know if she smacked him. I don't know what she did. Right? Who knows what happened? Well, we do know kind of what happened, but because she got pregnant, so things went well. Right? We'll leave it there. Things went well. And she believed, you know, either she believed him or she just was playing along. She thought, okay, old man, that's the way you're going to. Anyway, so she believes that God can do this. She gets pregnant, and then we hear it in the scripture. It shows up in the scripture as she begins to talk about it. When she realizes she's with child. Luke chapter 1, verse 25 shows up and says this. This is Elizabeth. Can you hear? happiness and joy starting to emerge. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He has taken away my disgrace of having no children. It was a disgrace. She had lived with this. And the Lord was taking it away. Now, here's the interesting thing. And Scripture doesn't tell us exactly. We can only speculate. But we are told that immediately after she realizes she's pregnant and she makes this bold exclamation that she is so happy that the Lord has taken away her disgrace and she's going to have a child, she immediately goes into seclusion for 5 months. That's kind of odd. Maybe that's not interesting at least. And again, we don't know for sure, but I can't help but wonder, does Elizabeth go into seclusion for 5 months? Because she knows, nobody's going to believe me. I'm an old woman. I tell people we're pregnant. They're going to think I'm losing my mind. Until I'm showing, ain't nobody buying that. Right? Maybe that's why she went into seclusion. Maybe she went into seclusion. Maybe this wasn't the first time that she had been pregnant. And she was afraid this was going to end up just like the others. Maybe she couldn't bear that loss again. The public shame of a miscarriage, if she came out and told everybody she was pregnant and suffer that loss. It would be bad enough to suffer that loss by yourself or just behind the door of your own home, but to do it in a way where you had said something to others. I don't know. But she went in seclusion for 5 months. But Scripture tells us this. In the 6th month of her pregnancy. I love that. She goes in seclusion for 5 months, and then Scripture picks up and it says, in the 6th month of her pregnancy, Gabriel shows up again in the area. This time he goes to another lady. She's not old, she's young. Right? He's working both extremes here. God is at work. I love how God will show up in ways that you would not expect. Right? He's going to bless a person that is too old to have a baby with the baby. Now he's going to create scandal, and he's going to show up with the virgin and tell her she's going to have a child. So Gabriel shows up to Mary and tells her an unbelievable, incredible message, not that her son is going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. Her son's going to be the Messiah. You're going to name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. Can you imagine? She's so excited, bewildered. I mean, I can't imagine the range of emotions that Mary had to be feeling. But she wants to immediately go to a trusted woman. And so she makes her way to Elizabeth's house, right? Luke chapter 1, verse 39 picks up. Says this. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 42. Elizabeth gave a glad cry, and she exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. She says, why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed. Because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. I just can't help but wonder, Elizabeth speaking those words to Mary, if that isn't a little bit of revealing as to why Elizabeth went into seclusion. And she sees Mary so bold coming to her and proclaiming to her and say, man, you are blessed because you have believed immediately that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. I wonder if that doesn't reveal maybe just a hint of Elizabeth, because of her woundedness and because of time and time and time and year after year after year, that while she desperately wanted to believe, there was that hint of her that said, I'm not so sure. I'm going to go into seclusion. But she saw in this young heart, one that was willing to take God at his word, just like that. And she says, you are blessed. Joy springs forth. But here's a big component. Evan said this when he was at the end of the song when you were praying. He hadn't seen my sermon notes. We haven't gotten together on this. But I want you to see the connection. Because joy showed up when the Holy Spirit showed up. Right? Look at this story. When the presence of the Holy Spirit showed up. Man, at the greeting of Mary, the baby within me leapt for joy, right? And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just happy about circumstances. It's something that goes deeper. Joy permeates our soul. And I love how joy spills out, right? Joy moves from the Holy Spirit's presence into the child, that the child would leap within her womb, and then it goes to her, and then the joy that Elizabeth exclaims when she says what she says to Mary later in Scripture, right after this, Mary burst into praise and proclaiming to God. If you'll read through this chapter, it's amazing. And she begins to praise God for it. This joy is spilling out and erupting all over the place. See, happiness is dictated by our circumstances. Joy defies our circumstances. Right? I'm happy. I'm not happy. I'm happy. I'm not happy. Right? Right? Most of us do this. Some of us do this. Right? Driven by circumstance. Joy defies our circumstance. We can have joy because of the presence of the Lord in our lives, even when we're facing difficult times. But joy is also contagious. Joy is contagious. You ever been around people like that? I mean, it just kind of blows your mind. You see them going through the most difficult times. You see them experiencing some of the most horrendous things. And somehow, they have this joy about them. Right? It's not a giddy, stupid happiness, right? Like they're over-medicated. Right? Oh, I mean, I see that. I know over-medicated people. Right? Oh, happy today. Right? We'll see them tomorrow morning. Oh, not so happy today. No, no, it wasn't that. But you've seen it. You've seen people that have gone through very difficult times, and yet they still have the joy of the Lord in their life. Verse 57-58. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. Man, this joy was contagious. It spilled from the Holy Spirit to the child, from the child to Elizabeth, from Elizabeth to Mary. Now when Elizabeth gives birth, man, it's spilling out to her neighbors and relatives. They're rejoicing with her in what God has done. I mean, they're just, you imagine how amazed they were? Man, Elizabeth just had a kid. Can you believe that? She's old. Right? And God is awesome. And when he tells us something, we can take him at his word. And he's given us his word, his living word, his son. And he's given us his written word. And we can take it. at face value. We can trust it. Even when it says difficult things. Even when we're going through difficult circumstances. So I'm going to ask you a question. Maybe a double question. Right? What circumstance are you facing right now? Right? I want you to stop. I mean, seriously, stop and consider this. This question. We all walked in here this morning, but we all came in with different things. Right? Maybe our trip here this morning looked very different from one another. We might have driven similar vehicles and made the same turns and came down the same street. Conversations in our vehicles might have been very different from one another. Right? I know how early Sunday morning drive can be. Right? It's not all quoting scripture on the way to church. Right? What circumstance are you facing right now? What are the situations? What are the situations that are stealing your joy? I want you to think about it. Somebody told me many years ago, do not attach your joy to people, places, or things. Because they will come and they will go and they will fail you. Right? But you attach your joy to one, and that is the one who is our joy, Jesus Christ. Because he will never fail you. Look, this season, whatever it is that you're facing right now, we may not experience a miracle as clear as Elizabeth's or Mary's, right? But in this Advent season, we can all experience the miracle of God with us. We can all experience the miracle of Emmanuel, right? I mean, think about it. God came to earth to be with us, to heal us, to forgive us, to redeem our pain, and to restore our joy, to be our joy. I hope during this season of Advent and Christmas and all the hustle and bustle and the rush and all these things that we add into it. And I'm all for all that, man. I'm all about having fun. I am all about us getting together and all that comes with it, right? But man, I hope that Jesus doesn't get lost in the middle of it. I hope this season we turn our eyes expectantly toward Jesus. We can find joy in what he has already done. Advent, we look back, right? What has he already done? God came and appeared in a manger. That's the stone feeding trough, not the barn, because there wasn't one. Just throwing that out there. What he did for us on the cross. Man, that's what we celebrate this time of year. Is we look back. Advent calls us to look back and celebrate and remember what he has already done for us. But also, expectantly, we look forward with confidence, knowing what he's still going to do in the future. So don't let these things get you down. Man, when it gets difficult, don't run away, but lean in. And lean into God. Lean into his word, his spirit, and his presence. And then you can experience joy, God with us.